Bengatu, to make sure everyone can hear me. Alhamdulillah, nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد, all praises to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead him astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his slave and messenger and the seal of the Prophet. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. To proceed. First of all, I want to let you know what the purpose of this class is. Alhamdulillah, many of us have came, and many people have been in this site for the purpose of gathering knowledge. So we must ask ourselves, why are we getting this knowledge? What is our purpose? And as these classes progress, not only will we deal with why we're seeking knowledge, but the proper methodology for which we should seek knowledge. How should we behave as students of knowledge, as people who are sincere in trying to learn about Allah, His Messenger, and the things that this theme has. For today's class, inshallah, I'm basing it on a paper from Brother Muhammad al-Sharif from Canada. Well, he's born in Canada, but he's currently living in College Park, Maryland. So inshallah, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask, inshallah, and I will do my best to answer it. To proceed. Many years ago in Uzbekistan, there was a young boy who had been born blind. And alhamdulillah, he was blessed with a strong Muslim mother who was strong in her belief in Allah, and she indeed believed that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would cure her son of his blindness. And she prayed and prayed to Allah azza wa jal to remove this blindness from her son, and alhamdulillah, one day this young boy regained his eyesight. This young woman was a widow, and she was raising her orphan son in the best manner that she could. And she took it upon herself to take her young son and travel with him from Uzbekistan to Mecca so that he could receive a proper Islamic education. She arranged that her son would sit in the circles with the scholars of this deen about Islam. And it was there that he began to acquire his love for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he began to dedicate himself to the sciences of hadith. He would travel to the distant villages in search of the most authentic sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was his common practice that before he would accept any hadith, that he would pray two rak'ah. His mother, she named this young boy Muhammad ibn Ismail. And we are blessed with this person's book. His book is considered the most second authentic book after the book of Allah azza wa jal. His name was Imam al-Bukhari. In another land, at another time, in Baghdad, There was another young woman, and she would take her young son, and she would put him in warm clothes and escort him through the dark nights or the early mornings to make sure that he would reach the masjid safely. And after Salat al-Fajr, she would wait for him as he would read the hadith to the biggest scholars of the land. And at this time, Baghdad was considered the center of Islamic knowledge. And then long after the sun had risen, she would meet her son outside, and together they would walk home. Indeed, she, like the mother of Imam Bukhari, was a strong Muslim. And her son grew up to be one of the main imams of our ummah. This was the mother of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayh. There's a famous imam, his name is Imam Sayyuti, and he authored his first book, which was the Tafsir of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he was only in second grade at the time of writing this book. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, why should we try to follow the footsteps of these icons of Islam? And inshallah, in this paper or in this presentation, the things we will discuss is not like anything else. The knowledge that we're talking about is the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this knowledge is the inheritance of the prophets. It is our duty as Muslims, as believers in Allah and His Messenger, to preserve and to protect the estate of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this cannot take place without there being serious and sincere brothers and sisters spending long days and nights dedicating themselves to reading, reflecting, and teaching each other. Every revival in Islam that takes place is built on something. Some revivals are built on emotions. Others are built on politics. But do you know which type of revival will remain firm through these hard times? The only one that will remain firm is the one that is built on sincere and sound knowledge of the words of Allah and of the Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a story of a young man, and he was at the beach one day, and he saw a fish that was having a difficult time dealing with the waves of the ocean. So he saw the fish struggling, and he decided that he was going to save the fish from the struggles that he was going through. So the man dove into the ocean, and he grabbed the fish by his tail. Then he walked back through the ocean to the shore of the beach, and he threw the fish out of the water. And he was satisfied with himself because he had saved the fish from the beating waves of the ocean. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, when you and I, when we work for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, without knowledge of what the path of Allah is, many times we act in the same manner as this young man who took the fish out of the water. We act without knowledge. Just like he didn't have the knowledge of what the fish needs, sometimes we say things in Islam with good intention, but we cause more damage than we do benefit. May Allah protect us from this. Ameen. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, right now we are living in an age of information. We have lights all through our households, when only a few short years ago, our forefathers and our foremothers in Islam read by the light of the moon or by the light of a candle. Today we have publishing houses, when only yesterday our ancestors had to write the books from which they read with their own hands. But today, we have the CD-ROMs, or we can go into the computer and we can punch in a few words to search for an ahadith, when our scholars will spend days upon days searching for one single hadith. We can do it with a few clicks of a button. So we would think to ourselves, shouldn't our knowledge of Islam have increased due to the ease of getting this knowledge? Yes, it should have, but it has not. my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we know that when there's a great prize that we're trying to win, the responsibility and the work required for this prize shall also be great. And because of this, we see the enormous reward promised to both scholars and the students of knowledge due to the heavy work that's required. It is reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever seeks out a path to acquire knowledge of the deen, Allah makes easy a path for them to Jannah. Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di said, thus, any path a person takes, whether physical or otherwise, something that will help them in acquiring knowledge of the deen, they enter in the words of the Prophet, whoever seeks out a path to acquire knowledge of the deen, Allah makes easy a path for them to Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when a person seeks out a path to learn about Islam, this is a sign that Allah loves them and that He wants good for them in this life as well as in the next. Ibn Abi Sufyan, rahimahullah, said that he heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever Allah wishes good for, He grants them understanding of the deen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the sincere scholars have a place with Allah that no one else can reach, and that they are the inheritors of the Prophet's estate in passing it on to the world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the virtue of the scholar to a worshipper is similar to the virtue of the moon when it is full to the rest of the stars. And verily, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Verily, the prophets did not leave behind dirhams and dinars, but rather they left behind knowledge. Thus, whoever takes it as a bountiful share. The position of the people of Islam acknowledged reach such a level that Allah Azza wa Jal and the angels pray for them. SubhanAllah. From Abu Umama, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, Allah and His angels, even the ant in the hole and the fish in the sea, verily they all pray for He who teaches people good. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for them also. He said, as narrated by Zayd ibn Thabit, may Allah grant light and happiness and beauty in the face of someone who hears a hadith from us and memorizes it, and until he passes it on to others. One of the hadith scholars that Imam Bukhari took from, Hashim ibn Amr, narrates a story that happened to him when he was 8 years old. He said, my father sold a house of his for 20 dinars so that I may go to Hajj and study Islam. When I arrived in Medina, I went to the circle of Imam Malik. He was sitting amongst his students like a king. People would ask him questions and he would answer. When I entered the crowd and my turn came up, I said, read to me. Imam Malik said, rather you read. And the young boy said, no, you read to me. And Imam Malik said, no, you read. When I talked back and argued, he got angry and said to another student, go with this boy outside and smack him 15 times. Give him 15 lashes. And that student took me outside and he gave me 15 lashes with a stick and then brought me back to Imam Malik. I said, you have wronged me, Imam Malik. My father sold his house so that I could come to you and be honored by listening to your teaching and seek knowledge from you. And you lashed me 15 times without any crime on my part. I shall not forgive you, Ya Imam Malik. Then Imam Malik said, what is the expiation for this wrong that I have done you? And then he said, you have to recite 15 hadith to me. That is the expiation. So Imam Malik began reciting the hadith to me until he had completed 15. When he ended, I told him, beat me more and read more hadith to me. Imam Malik laughed at the boy and told him to be off. Look at this young boy and his zeal to learn about our Islam. Many of us don't want to sacrifice time, but this brother was willing to sacrifice his body just for 15 hadith. SubhanAllah. From the beginning of time, there has been a race between the doers of good and the doers of evil. Adam and Iblis, Musa and Fir'aun, Muhammad and Abu Jahl. Today that race has not ended. Think how hard are the doers of evil working, and how hard are we working? Umar ibn al-Khattab, rahimahullah, radiyallahu anhu, said, I seek Allah's protection from the strength and enthusiasm of the sinner and the laziness of the God-fearer. SubhanAllah, it is as if he was talking about us today. We claim to fear Allah, but look how lazy we are when it comes to trying to study this deen. May Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. I mean, how can one of us be too lazy to simply pray two rakah of tahajjud at night when the people of the dunya spend the entire night watching movies, some of which they even take the time to read the translations at the bottom of the screen or the closed captions that come on? How can we be too lazy to read for 2 hours when the people of the dunya, those who just want more money to continue their sin, spend days upon days and all night studying for their exams, not to study for the sake of Allah, but to study for the sake of the dollar? Why do we get upset at the man who's trying to sell us books of Islam for $6 when the people of the dunya spend hundreds or rather thousands of dollars to pursue their sinful lifestyles? What's wrong? What has happened to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Listen to those who came before us. Some fuqaha has said, for years, I desired to eat a certain sweet dish, and I wasn't able to do it because it was only sold during the time that I was in the halakha. SubhanAllah. Imam Shuba said, if I ever saw someone who was running in the streets of a village, I would only think one of two things. Either this man was crazy, or he was a student of the hadith. And Imam Abdulzi said, I have seen a flaw more sad in the community than those who stop working. I haven't seen a flaw more sad in the community than those who stop working, even though they have the ability to continue. So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to ask ourselves, how do we correct the situation? Well, let us reflect on the following points, inshallah. Firstly, we must be sincere in our desire to learn Islam. We are learning this deen to rid ourselves, firstly, of ignorance, and then to help others to rid themselves of ignorance. As I think Brother Abu Ibrahim is doing in our class on the hadith, when he did from Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith, the same hadith is the first hadith in many of the books of hadith. It is not a coincidence that this is the first hadith. And the hadith starts up, إِنَّ مَعَمَّنُ بِالنِّيَةِ. Verily, actions are judged by their intentions. The scholars of Islam are reminding us from the very beginning of our path to learning from page 1 that it must be and it can only be for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to be sincere to Him in what we do. Allah says in the Quran in translation from Surah Bayyinah, and they were not commanded except to worship Allah, being sincere to Him in religion, inclining to truth, and to establish the prayer and to give zakat. And that is the correct religion. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever studies that which is meant for the sake of Allah, desiring only a piece of the dunya, He shall not smell the fragrance of Jannah on the day of judgment. And even Abbas said, verily a man shall be protected by Allah in proportion to his intention for doing what he is doing. And this issue of intention, Arniya, it's not an easy matter. Sheikh Sufyan al-Thawri said, I have never nursed something more rebellious than my intentions. Let us listen to the advice of Imam Ibn Jamal. If you want to know what it takes to correct your intention, he said, a proper and sincere intention in studying Islam is to intend to win the pleasure of Allah by what you are doing. You should intend to practice what you learn, to resurrect the Sharia, hoping that this knowledge will shine light on your heart, cleanse your soul, and bring you closer to Allah on the Day of Judgment. Your intention for studying Islam should not be to win any worldly commodity, like leadership, or fame, or riches. It should not be learnt so that you can show off to your colleagues, or so that people will receive you and sit you in the chief position in their gatherings, and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who heed this advice. Secondly, we should understand that we are in a continuous war with the shayateen, and they do not want us to succeed in this study. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in translation in Surah Nahl, when thou dost read the Quran, seek Allah's protection from the shaitan, the rejected. The shayateen shall sit in the face of every good thing that you try to do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, the shayateen sits in the path of every goodness that the son of Adam may try to take. He sat in front of him when he took the path to Islam and told him, how could you leave the religion of your fathers and your forefathers? But he disobeyed him and became Muslim. Then shaitan sat in front of him in his path to Hijrah and said, how could you leave your land and your sky? But he disobeyed him and migrated from Mecca. Then he sat in front of him in his path of jihad and said, why should you do jihad? It will only exhaust your wealth and body. You'll be killed. Your wife will marry someone else, and your wealth will be divided to others. But he disobeyed him and went for jihad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, whoever does this, it is a duty upon Allah that he shall never, whoever does this, it is a duty upon Allah that he shall enter him into Jannah. May Allah make us amongst those enter into Jannah. Amen. So how will the shayateen sit in your face? He shall tell you, study tomorrow. And when tomorrow comes, study tomorrow. Procrastination, it is from the shayateen. Shaytan will tell you that you are busy now, and that later in your life, you shall take the time to study Islam, after marriage, after graduation, after you get a job. Life shall pass, and after the afters shall live forever. Shaitan will tell you that the situation of the ummah is lost, and that you studying will not help anything. So don't waste your time. You need to combat this with what you've seen from the jihad of knowledge and teaching that Rasulullah and those that came before us did. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaitan will tell you that there are enough scholars. They don't need you. They don't want you. We combat this with the fact that scholars, each and every one of them, shall die. And if the knowledge is not passed on to the next generation, knowledge itself will die in the community. Right now, there are over 1.4 billion Muslims. And the problem that always comes up is that there are not enough teachers and scholars. Indeed, everyone is a shepherd. and everyone shall be responsible for his or her flock. Thirdly, we should never forget to pray to Allah to bless us with his mercy in succeeding in our intentions to learn Islam for his sake and his sake alone. We have to ask Allah to purify our intentions. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Baqarah in translation, "And when my servant asks you, O Muhammad, concerning me, indeed I am near. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So let them respond to me that they may be rightly guided." So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, in closing, let us pray to Allah now to make this effort we are doing to learn his deen, to learn his sharia, sincere for his sake. And that he bless us by his mercy to succeed in what we intend. And verily Allah has the power to do all things. JazakAllah khair for your time. BarakAllahu feekum. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.